Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio, and we've got a great program today that's going to hit right at the center of our daily lives and who we really are. The title of the program that's been put together today is called Manifestations, the Old Self versus the New Man. And the brother who put this together and is live with me right now on the radio is Brother Travis Bryan III. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. Good to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for being with us. And this is a very, very, what is the wording I need? It's just much a part of us, if you will, the manifestation of the fruit of our lives. And ultimately, that fruit coming out of the cross life, the Bible often contrasts that, and it's interesting that I was going to read the very passage that you referenced first, Brother Travis, in this piece on manifestations and what our lives are manifesting. Now, the Bible says that we're to examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith, and that's what this message will do for us and really help us to see where we are with the Lord, in my estimation. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And here's the cross, verse 3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I want to encourage us saints to memorize this verse, Colossians 3:3, for you are dead. You're dead and buried, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, these first four verses here, at least, is one of the passages after I've done Bible study in the morning, before I leave my house, I read this passage, Brother Travis. I believe there's just so much to it, and it helps you to just set your affection, exactly what it says, on things above, and realize that Jesus is coming. We're just passing through on this earth. We seek a city to come, it says in the book of Hebrews. And so we're looking for the King from heaven and to be eternally with him. Amen. This is not our home. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, this is, it's obvious that in this passage are conditions. It's only if we are setting our affection on things above, we are counting ourselves to be dead and our lives hid with Christ and God. When Christ comes, that's the people. And you can see why that's just a small remnant of those who claim to be Christians. That's the wise virgin believers who are looking for Jesus from heaven, Brother Travis, who are going to appear with him when he returns. Amen?
Amen, brother. And you picked a good passage there. I want to make one little comment about it. I love verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That death is final there. There's no continuation of that. That is a positional death. You died to sin. You died to the world. You died to the law. So you are dead in that verse. That is a positional truth. But then strangely in verse 4, it says that you need to mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Well, wait a minute. If I'm dead, why do I need to something else to die? And that, you see, is referring to experiential death. That is the daily death there, Todd.
So you get
positions
your,
we are dead, but experiential, we're dying daily.
Okay. You got your positional and then also your practical or daily experiencing of the death and burial and resurrection, correct?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Amen,
and,
brother. Now, you're talking about, well, go ahead.
Piece we wrote for today, and our discussion will be on the manifestations of the old man or old self the flesh, and then comparing those to the manifestations of the new creation, the new man or the new self coming out of death, Todd. So the only way you transition from these old manifestations into a new manifestations, that is the fruit of the Spirit, is through this death, Todd. If there's no death, you will never arrive at this place and person where you can put on the new man and manifest Christ in your life, his life be manifested. There has to be a cross, Todd, for this to happen.
Amen. And that's the key, and that's the missing essential component in the message of the Christian faith today, saints, is the cross of Christ and the cross that he commanded us to take up in laying ourselves aside ourselves so that he alone, who is the resurrection and the life, might reign in our mortal bodies daily. Verse 5, Brother Travis says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, Brother Travis, apparently, tell me if this is correct, it's the cross that actually causes us to have the divine grace of God to overcome these sins and others that are mentioned here. Is that correct?
Absolutely, Todd. And the reason that is idolatry is because basically all those are sourced in self. And to live the self life is to live a life of idolatry. That you idolize your own self, Todd, is basically what you're doing.
Amen. The Bible tells us, I love John 3:30. John the Baptist says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And saints, that's a great prayer today to say, Lord, I'm asking you to increase in my life and bless me upon your increasing to be dead and buried with Christ so he alone, for you alone, Lord Jesus, can raise me up in your power and grace and I can be propelled by your spirit today and manifest your life to others in Jesus' name. Amen. That is the daily, the gospel in the life of the believer daily that Brother Travis Bryan III often or always speaks of. If he's preaching, it's on the cross, the central message of the cross, like no one across the planet, I might add. I want to encourage you to get on safeguardyoursoul.com. There's a category drop-down feature. I want you to go to T. Just put in a T. It'll go down to T. And then just go down a little bit to Travis Bryan III. Or you can go to D for Daily Cross, and you're going to have literally probably 100 or 200 messages, many of which are going to be from Brother Travis. And Brother Travis, as you say often, I agree with this, that we must camp out on this message. In fact, I got an email last night or yesterday about that very thing. A sister that has, a dear sister, by the way, that has been listening to the message of the cross, and she talked about that very thing, about how it's becoming a regular part of her life, and that she, like all of us, is prone to wonder, if you will, as the song says, but coming back to that cross. it's a place of comfort and safety, isn't it, Brother Travis?
Oh, it's absolutely the refuge, Todd. It is the shelter with the blood on the lintel and on the side post. And when you're in behind that cross, Todd, you are, the devil cannot reach you there.
Love it. The death angel cannot reach you if you're in the cross of Christ, the propitiatory cross of Christ, the blood of which he shed to redeem us. Hallelujah. Propitiation is a King James word that means atoning sacrifice. Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice. You might recall, saints, that God told his people in Exodus, I believe it's chapter 12 through 14, to put the blood of a lamb this was depicting Christ before he was came to the earth and was born of a virgin and manifested in the flesh. And speaking of manifestations, and he said, put the blood, that's what Brother Travis is referring to, on the top and the sides, in the side of a cross, basically, on the doorpost. And the death angel will have to pass over you when he sees the blood. You know, Satan has no part in the life of the crucified believer, Brother Travis. Is that correct?
Absolutely, brother. But in order to go through that threshold, you've got to die with Christ, you see. And that's why you're protected. You're on the other side of that threshold in the new creation. And that's why it says in chapter 3 of Colossians, your life is hid with Christ in God. I like the word hid. God, the devil can't find you in there.
I love Psalm 91:1 also, brother. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We are in the perpetuity, if you will, and watch care of the Lord when we're in Christ, in the cross of Christ, positionally and practically. Now, Brother Travis, the first manifestation that you speak of is out of Colossians 3 also, verse 9
right.
and 10. The new man will tell the truth, whereas the old man, what, he wants to lie. And I'll read those verses for you, brother. Just comment.
Yeah.
Colossians 3, 9, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Go ahead, brother.
Absolutely, brother. And, you know, lying, and I've gotten to observe a lot of lying in my court, of which I'm the judge, and in my own life and in the lives of others. And I've come to conclude that all lies, Todd, are sourced in self-protection. That is the base motive behind all lies. And the cross, when you die to that old man, and you put in the new creation, Christ lives in you, then you're willing to tell the truth no matter how bad the consequences, no matter about how bad it hurts, because you're now trusting Christ to take care of you, and you can tell the truth, God.
Amen. And then have a clear conscience, as the New Testament speaks much about. Now, Brother Travis, the next one you're talking about here is very interesting. You talked about contrasting the old man and the new man. The old man with control tactics versus the new man manifesting surrender of control out of Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Brother Travis.
Todd, this giving up control, I think, is one of the main characteristics of dying with Christ. Giving up control of your life, giving up control of other people, letting other people go, letting them have their way, giving up control of the thermostat and the remote to your TV. Those are sort of small examples, but it's an overall giving up of control of your life. And see, when a person in the flesh operating out of the old man does not trust God, so he has got to control all his circumstances and all the people around him. And that will wear you out eventually, Todd, trying to do all that, because basically down deep, we know that's an illusion. You can't control your circumstances and you can't control other people, but the self will try to do that and continue to try to do that. and even make God a puppet. Control him by your behavior. Well, God, I'm going to act well today, so you must bless my life. That is a control tactic even. And so dying to self, Todd, one of the main and most important aspects of that is giving up control. Now, in Romans 12:1, giving up control is captured in these words: present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what it means. Trust God to take care of you. Be vulnerable. Walk out into the world and give up control and trust God, Todd.
Amen, Brother Travis. And, you know, obeying this simple truth is what really is the linchpin, if you will, or the doorway into liberty and great joy and freedom. When we release, I actually sense, I don't do it for this purpose, but as a manifestation, Brother Travis, I sense a liberty every morning when I get up and sincerely cry out to the Lord that he must increase, I must decrease, and into his hands I commend or submit, release my spirit. I dare you to try that one, saints. You know what I mean? I mean, that is a real blessing. Now, Jesus speaks, Brother Travis, whosoever shall seek to save or preserve his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, it's interesting that he speaks of that in context of remember Lot's wife. God was bringing Lot and his wife and kids out of a life of, sin. And into the new life, kind of a type of salvation where he's bringing us out of darkness into the light and delivering us from the old man and to put on the new man. But she refused to do that, Brother Travis, obviously. Genesis 19, saints, is what Jesus is referring to here. He says, remember Lot's wife. She didn't endure to the end, did she, Brother Travis?
No, she didn't, Todd, and we all have that tendency. We're walking out into uncertainty, and we don't have control. We're leaving the things we're familiar with. We're leaving our comfort zone, and we don't want to give up those familiar things. So rather than go on into the greatness of God, we would rather go back into our small little selfish lives because it's so frightening to walk out and give up control and lose your comfort zone, Todd.
Amen. You know, and we've got to lose our life to gain it, don't we, brother? We've got to just turn it loose in order to have God's best, to let go and to let God. Amen.
Amen, brother. Let go and let God. That is an old cliche, but it's really not. It's absolute truth, Todd.
Amen. Some cliches are worthy of acceptation, as Paul said. And others aren't. That one I would absolutely agree is a biblical truth that we've got to be hid with Christ in God and to lose our lives and not preserve them, which is the word Jesus used, as you can see in the Gospels. Now, the next one here listed, brother, as far as the manifestation of the flesh, the old man, and the new man that we're to put on, as we read in Colossians 3, is setting boundaries versus willing to be vulnerable. And you reference to Luke 10, verse 3 and 4, which says, go your ways, Jesus said, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves, carrying neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Brother Travis?
Yeah, Todd, I use the phrase setting boundaries because I'm alluding there to self-protection with money, with armor, with networking, you know, all the various ways that we use to keep people out and protect ourselves. Protection of self is, again, what we're talking about here. And God is calling us to be stripped of all self-protection and to walk out into the world as a lamb among wolves, Todd, and be willing to be vulnerable. And then he says, walk out, don't even carry your purse, scrip, shoes, Salute no man, by the way. That means don't rely on your networking skills with people to sustain yourself. Just trust me. And so that is a difference between the old man's life and the new man. One is always self-protecting, finding ways to do it. The other is willing to be a lamb. Now, Christ is a lamb. I would venture to say God is also a lamb. And he calls us to be in his image, Todd.
Amen, brother. You know, recently we did a program, and you had written it, talking about lamb power. Saints, I want to encourage you on that one. Lion power versus lamb power. You can look that up on safeguardyoursoul.com. If you go to the search box and just put in lamb or lion, it'll be probably the first one that comes up. That was a great ministry program, as all of them are, brother. And, you know, on this one here with the not preserving our lives and losing our lives and being as lambs among wolves,
right.
Your ways, I send you forth as lambs among wolves, carrying you the purse and the scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man, by the way. You know, it seems like in a practical way, Brother Travis, the less we have in this life, the physical, material, and things that we cling to, the happier we really are. That's illustrated by on a personal level, my conversation with so many people. And a lot of young people are catching hold of this, you know. And I think there's a real revival in that. And you can tell there's a really elated, joyful state about it. And I had an example that slipped my mind at the moment, but losing our lives in this world is an obedience to the Lord, but it sure can bring forth a freedom that we couldn't otherwise experience, being entrenched in the things that we think we need with all of these accoutrements and materialistic things. And Jesus wants to set his people free to serve him and glorify him. And we must follow his prescription in order for that to happen. Now, Brother Travis, you talked about next hypocrisy versus sincerity.
Let me add, Todd, a comment to your last comment. The Bible likens this coming out of the old man into being a new man to a baby in the womb, and then coming out into this wide open world, which signifies freedom. But the baby in the womb, Todd, is in darkness. They are cramped. They can't move. They're in a fetal position. They are a picture of being still in the world and being in self. But coming out of the womb, into the world, you're free. Everything around you is new, and the new creation will be more new to us than it would be to a baby coming out of the womb. But, Todd, here's the deal. That baby has got to go through that birth canal, and there's a lot of pressure in there. There's a lot of restriction in there. There is even sometimes a changing of the shape of the baby's head going in there. It's so crushing to go through. And the waves that are in the contractions of the woman. That is what it means to go through the cross. That's a picture of it right there, brother. A woman in travail. The King James Version uses that word, travail. So to get to this freedom you're talking about, Todd, we've got to go through the travail of this new birth through the cross, Todd.
Amen, brother. Now, go ahead.
Go ahead, brother.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned 2 Corinthians 2, I believe you meant 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Now, saints, we just read where the word sincerity is a biblical word. You know, you could cling to that word that was divinely inspired for you and ask the Lord to bless you to have a sincere, pure, authentic heart and walk with him, and he says that many corrupt the Word of God. We see that all around us. Those in ministry who corrupt the Word of God. In fact, they withhold the essential truth of the cross, for example, and don't teach people that Jesus commanded us to deny ourselves, to lay down our lives in this world so that he might reign through us and in us, and that we might reign with him for eternity. It's a prerequisite, saints. Make no mistake. That's exactly what we saw in Colossians 3, and we see all over the scriptures. We can't walk our own way. We can't not follow Jesus and still go to his heaven. If we're going to go to Jesus' heaven, he is the only way. We must follow what he said. Now, also, Brother Travis, you mentioned Matthew 6:5, which Jesus said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
Yeah,
and
not,
that was,
go ahead, sir.
The hypocrisy versus sincerity, yeah.
You go, Todd.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I guess what you're saying there, hypocrisy wants to be seen of men, obviously, whereas the cross brings us to a place of sincerity and quietness, knowing that what matters is what God sees, not to show off before men, huh?
That's right, Todd. And this word for sincere is a Greek word that is used in three different ways in the King James New Testament. One is sincere, which would be the opposite of hypocrisy. Single is another word, to be single-minded instead of double-minded. And then the last word is simple. The new man is sincere, single-minded, and simple. Todd, the inside matches with your outside conduct. The internal matches with the external in the new man. What you see is what you get with the new man. But the old man is always a hypocrite, Todd. The outer conduct and the visual activity of that person does not match with what's going on inside. And they put on a good show. They wear the mask, but inside they're dead men's bones. That's the hypocrite. They're not single. They're double-minded, Todd. They cannot love people unconditionally. They judge people that this one is good and this one is bad. Therefore, I'm going to side with a good one and not with the bad one. Or they look at people and say, I'm better than him. Or they look at people and say, I'm not as good as him. That is double-minded thinking. It's not single, and it's not simple, Todd. So the old man is a hypocrite, and is complex. The new man is sincere, single, and simple, Todd.
Amen, brother. And the only solution, saints, to crucify this filthy evil out of that's resident in all of us, Paul said, that made that clear in Romans 6 and 7, is through the cross, the walk of the cross, where we're dead and buried with Christ, and he's risen up, and Jesus is pure sincerity, sincerity in perfection, and when he's manifesting in us, then there's going to be a sincere heart, and that's a clean conscience that comes with Brother Travis. We've got about 45 seconds left.
Wow.
You know, you spoke, by the way, saints, there are a lot more. We didn't even get through half of the bullet points here. I want you to look this up. This is a new post on safeguardyoursoul.com, manifestations, the old man versus the new man. And feel free to pass that along to somebody else. Brother Travis, next one he references is where Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong. And saints, we need to realize that we are weak, and Jesus is strong. And Father, we pray right now that you would bless us as David prayed. Clean heart, Lord, and renew a right spirit within us, because you desire truth in the inward parts. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Brother Travis. Great one. God bless you, brother, and everyone.
God bless.
listen.
Thank you very much.